With you, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate of the law." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen Christ the Lord. And he came in the power of the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the customary requirements of the law in regard to him, he took him in his arms and he blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go. Go in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the feast of the presentation of Jesus in the temple, found only in the Gospel of Luke. And scholars will say the reason it's in Luke and not in the other Gospels is that Luke is a Gentile Gospel. As you know, Luke is a Gentile, and this Gentile writes more of the New Testament than any other. But since he's a Gentile and he's writing for Gentile people who may not be familiar with the customs of presenting Jesus in the temple, he includes this in his gospel. Whereas the other gospels, written for Jewish people, they would understand this already. No need to remind them about the presentation of Jesus in the temple. I was wondering how to fit this into our present-day culture. How do we make this gospel meaningful in the place where we live, in our society and in our culture? The gospel is about waiting. Now, I had thought about the child and the old man coming together. What's the meaning of this? But the gospel essentially is about waiting. And the people of Israel are waiting for the time of salvation. They're waiting for their Messiah. They are still waiting for the Messianic day. But for the followers of the Lord, waiting for the Lord, this is the time of fulfillment. And Simeon, this devout man, finally experiences the salvific messianic Jesus, and he said, "Now, Lord, you can dismiss me." Nunc dimittis is the Latin prayer that's part of the breviary that priests say, part of the night prayer. That's the last prayer at night that a priest does in the breviary. Said, "Nunc dimittis, now you can dismiss me, Lord. My life is fulfilled in the power of Jesus Christ." So that's the gospel. How do we fit this into the present age? So let me look at the present age. And what environment defines where we live here? What is it about our culture and our time and maybe our church that allows us to learn something from this gospel? Jonathan Haidt, some of you may be familiar with him, he's best-selling author, and his recent book, which is a long book and it's a heavy read, so if you're very dedicated, you'll read it. It's called The Anxious Generation, and all parents should read it. It deals with the present-day generation. We're looking at an age and a culture in which we live where we have anointed power. In many ways, we have accepted the intoxication of power, of instant power, of absolute power in some ways, in the church or in our culture. We admire people who work, who are very busy. People say to me all the time, "You must be very busy, do you have time?" I said, "I have time." "Well, you're not supposed to have time. You're supposed to be very busy all the time." Because we bless people who are busy. You know, they used to tell the story in Ireland about this priest that called the Pope and he said, "Holy Father, I'm in a crisis. Jesus Christ is walking down the main street in Killarney. What am I going to do?" And the Pope said, "Look busy." Because busy is good. And if you overwork, you'll get a bonus. If you work too hard, somebody will admire you for working so hard, even though you're destroying your life and maybe your family. We live in this culture of achievement, of power, control, of activity. That's where we live. And Jonathan Haidt, in his new best-selling book, The Anxious Generation, speaks about the manner in which young people are growing up today. They're called digital natives. And they were raised in a digital age, and that has taken over their lives. And it has spawned an age of depression, of conflict, of darkness, of mental illness, of loneliness, and a significant elevation in suicides amongst young people. Vivek Murthy, the Surgeon General, writes extensively about this. The pandemic of loneliness and dislocation and isolation coming from digital life. Instead of children playing games, they're on a digital world. And to read Jonathan Haidt and Vivek Murthy, you will say that it's causing an amazing cultural crisis. We don't have time. We're all short of time. We're all very busy people. We have a lot on. We don't have a lot on, but we think we have a lot on. I don't mean chronological time, time to listen, time to belong, time to show up, time to be kind, time to bless people, time to listen to people. We're short of time. We're all short of time. They tell the story in Ireland about the American tourist, and Finnegan is driving the cab and he's driving too slowly. So she said, "Can't you go any faster?" And Finnegan said, "I can, but I'm not allowed to leave the car." We're on the move all the time. That's the culture in which we live. Waiting is an alien thing. And the reason is that ailing or waiting makes you powerless. We don't want to be powerless. If you have to wait for an hour, you don't know what to do for the hour. You have to find something to do. You'll go out and come back later. The idea of waiting, just waiting, is alien to our culture. We have instant breakfast, instant everything. And we have less time than generation before us. who didn't have all these instant things. We're less connected. We are less interpersonal than the generation before us, now that we have all these amenities. So when you get to a gospel, you must understand that wisdom is the child of reflection, some reflection, and the child of servant leadership. Tell me, have we lost the notion of servant leadership? Is it something in the past? And are we now canonizing the power of leadership instead of the servanthood of leadership in the church or in our culture, in our society? What happened here? We didn't listen to the gospel. We read it and we put it aside. We didn't listen enough to say, waiting is an essential component of a healthy life. I'll wait for you. When I finished high school in 1958, the first time I came upon the name of Samuel Beckett. Now, Samuel Beckett, he was part of a culture, a group of his time, was called the Theater of the Absurd. He won a Nobel Prize, and so did Albert Camus, also part of the Theater of the Absurd. Camus won his Nobel Prize for The Myth of Sisyphus. Remember Sisyphus? He's in the Iliad, in Homer's Iliad, Greek mythology. He's the fellow that rolls the rock up the hill, and the rock comes down, and he keeps rolling it up the hill, and it comes down, and his life is absurd. It's absurd, he keeps doing the same thing, but he gets used to it. And he's used to living an absurd life, says Camus. And then along comes Samuel Beckett, right after Camus, and he says, an atheist that he was, he said, life is absurd. So he has this Waiting for Godot, which was the play for which he won the Nobel. And in this, you have two fellows, and they meet at a place. They're waiting for Godot. They don't know who Godot is. They don't know what he looks like. They do not know where he's coming. They don't know where they're going to meet him, but they're waiting for him. It's the absurdity of it. And these fellows came in right after the Second World War, and there was so much devastation. There was so much destruction, so much inhumanity of one to another that they said there couldn't be a God. Life is futile. Life is absurd. Life is meaningful. Stop trying to achieve things. It doesn't matter. Life is empty. Life is impoverished because there is no God. There is no higher power. That was Waiting for Godot and the Myth of Sisyphus. And what's missing for Camus and for Beckett was some inspiration from a higher power, some revelation, some divine wisdom to say, is this the way I want to live? We're not feeding the soul. I'll take you back to 13th century Persian poet Sa'idi, where he says this: if of thy mortal goods thou art bereft, and in thy slender locker two loaves for thee is all that's left, then sell one, and with the dole buy hyacinth to feed the soul. We're not feeding the soul. We're feeding the body. We're feeding a culture. We're devoid of silence, of quiet. It's an emptiness. In a way, it's an absurdity when you stop and think about it. So what shall you do? What shall I do? What shall we do in life that says we'll feed the soul, not the body, not achievement, not power, not glory, not self-satisfaction, but something deeper inside myself, a place inside myself that I can touch only in silence. Silence. Quiet. We live in a world of noise. You got up this morning to a clock radio or something, there was noise. You got in your car, you turn on the radio. We're surrounded by noise. So if I stop at Mass here for a few moments, we're going to say, he must have forgotten. There must be something wrong here. We're not supposed to stop and pause. You kind of pause. If you pause, people say, I wonder what he's thinking. There must be something wrong here, you know. He paused for a moment of silence. Wow, it's amazing. We don't pause. We're going and going. Not knowing exactly where we are going. The myth of Sisyphus. We're waiting for Godot. Amen.